Today's shiur is daf chaf hey amanal chaf hey. We're gonna begin at the end of the second line. So yesterday we learned that you're not allowed to use shem and tzrei for candle lighting on yontif, because it's also to burn shem and tzrei on yontif. Why? Because you have to burn shem and tzrei, and we learned the reasons why you should not do it on yontif. But it's obvious that you are allowed to burn shem and tzreifa. Ask the Gemara, b'yontif hu da'asur. On yontif it's prohibited to burn shem and tzreifa. Habachoyl, during the week, shapadami. You are allowed to have hanor from the shem and tzreifa that you burn. Ask the Gemara, my tama. Why are you allowed to have hanor from that shemen of truma tameya? Amirav. So Rav answers, k'shem shemitzah lisroif ha'kotchim shenitmu. Just like there's a mitzvah to burn kotchim that become tamei, kach mitzvah lisroif as a truma shenit mas. There's a mitzvah to burn truma that becomes tamei. So the Rajba asks a question. The Gemara wants to know, my tama, how do you know we're allowed to have hanor from shemit sreifa? How's the Gemara answer? The Gemara answers, because you have to burn it. That wasn't my question. My question was, how do you know you're allowed to have hanor? So the Sfas Emma says that Amar Rav is really part of the question. The Gemara is establishing you have to burn it, and the Gemara is asking, my tama, you are out of hanor. That's how the Sfas Emma answers. The Pnei Yeshua says a very interesting answer. He says, if there would be no mitzvah to burn Shem and Truma Tamei on Yontif, it'd be obvious that you're allowed to burn it. You're allowed to burn it, you're allowed to have hanor from it. Once, and anything that you do l'tzoyruch oichel nefesh is mutter on yontif. Once there's a mitzvah, so now it's not l'tzoyruch oichel nefesh. It's l'tzoyruch mitzvah. It's for a mitzvah purpose, not for an oichel nefesh purpose. And if it's for a mitzvah purpose, now we have to know, are you allowed to have anor, or is it just a mitzvah that you're not allowed to have anor from? Says the Gemara, heichen v'amr Torah, and the Torah says, b'shas b'ura, when the kayin burns the shemen tzreifa, teheni memenu, he's allowed to have hanor. In other words, if he's using it to cook, or he's using it for heat. Heichen amr Torah. Ask the Gemara, where in the Torah do we find that you're allowed to have hanor from it? Says the Gemara, midr Rav Nachman. Dar Rav Nachman amr Rav Avur, amr Kra. It says in the Pasuk, regarding truma, v'ani hine nesati l'cha, I gave you es mishmeres trumasi, the safeguarding of my truma. Now trumasi is a lashon rabim. That means two trumas. B'shtei trumas akas medaber. Two types of truma. Achas truma tahira. One is truma tahira. V'achas truma tamei. The other one is truma tameya. V'am rachmana. What does the pasuk say in this pasuk? L'cha. Shalcha tehei. It's yours for your personal use. So the truma that's edible, eat. And the one that's tamei, lasika tachas tafsholcha. You can put it under your pot to cook. V'bay seima. The Gemara says another possible makor that you're allowed to use truma tamei for your own hanor, midr bavua. Damar bavua amar b'yochanan. The halacha is that produce in Eretz Yisrael have a 7-year cycle. In the first year and the second year, you have to give maisa rishon and maisa sheni. In the third year, you give maisa rishon and maisa ani. Fourth and fifth, again, is maisa rishon and maisa sheni. In the sixth year, you have to give maisa rishon and maisa ani. When the time comes up, you have to say vidui maiser. You have to confess that you treated the maiser properly. And the pasuk says, what does a person say regarding the maiser sheni? I did not use the maiser sheni for purposes of heating, of fire, when it was tamei. Now the pasuk says v'loy bi'arti mimenu b'tamei. The pasuk could have just said v'loy bi'arti b'tamei. I didn't use it when it was tamei. Why did the pasuk add the word mimenu? To teach us mimenu i'atamaver. You're not allowed to use the ma'aseh sheni when it's tamei for burning purposes, for fuel or heat. Aval atamaver shemen shatruma shenitmas. To teach us, what can you infer? Shemen truma degat tamei. You may use for heating purposes or fuel purposes even when it's tamei. Ask the Gemara, you're right. The word mimenu certainly comes to teach us here it's aser and somewhere else it's mutter. But the question is, who says that the place that's mutter is shemen truma shenetma, maybe the Eima will tell you, mimenu iatamavir, you know what the mimenu comes to teach us? Avil atamavir, shemen shakaydish shenetma. You allow to burn shemen shakaydish that became tamei. And we won't have any basis for shemen truma shenetmas. Says the Gemara, lav kavachaymahu, can't I say the following kavachaymah? Ma mas akal. You have Maisa Sheni and you have Kodesh. What is, from the halachic viewpoint, more chumridig? Kodesh. So if Ma Maisa Akal, if Maisa, which is not as the high level, or Mitaru Loi Batim Menem B'Tomei, that you're not allowed to use it when it's Tomei, Kodesh Chomer Loi Koshkein. So the Pasuk can't be teaching us that you're allowed to use Kodesh that's Tomei, because that would make no sense to say that Kodesh is more lenient than Maisa Sheni. Ask the Gemara, if that's a legitimate line of reasoning, you could use the same line of reasoning by Truma. Ihachi Truma Nami Lema. Say the same thing by Truma. And say, Kavachaymahu. And say that if Meiser, you're not allowed to use when it's Tamei, then certainly Truma, which is a higher level of Kedusha, you should not allow to use by Tamei. But then you'll have a problem. What are you going to do with the word Mimenu? So obviously, even though logically Truma or Kodesh should be more stringent than Maisa Sheni, the Torah, for its own reasons, is telling us that I have to treat one of them, as far as this halacha is concerned, more leniently. It's not a question as which one. Says the Gemara, Haksim Mimenu. And I'm going to use the word Mimenu for Truma. Ask the Gemara, Maris, why do I say that Kodesh I'm not allowed to use when it's Tamei? And Truma I am allowed to use with Tamei. Maybe just say the opposite way. And say, Kodesh I will be allowed to, and Truma I won't be allowed to. Answers the Gemara, Mestaber Kodesh Lo B'Matina. It makes more sense that if I'm going to eliminate one, the one to eliminate is Truma, not Kodesh. Why? Shekein Simen Panakachas. Kodesh has all of these six following chumras. What are they? Number one is Pigel. Pigel means like this. So there's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to learn Pigel here. Rashi learns Pigel with the traditional Taich of Pigel, which means that when you brought the carbon, you had a mind to eat it past the prescribed time. Chutz l'zmanoi. Noiser, Rashi again defines in the traditional way, that you brought the carbon properly, but you had a mind to... You actually left it over later. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says that pigel here means that you either had a mind or actually to bring the carbon chutz l'mekaymai, to be makriv or do it in the wrong place, or if you didn't have it in mind, but you actually did it. And noiser, Tosfos says, includes that you had a mind chutz l'zmanai, or you actually did chutz l'zmanai. So explains the mashal, why does Tosfos learn pshat like that? Because according to Rashi's pshat, there's no room here to speak about somebody who had a machshava of chutz l'zman, who had a machshava of chutz l'mekaymai, or did chutz l'mekaymai. By Tosfos' pshat, chutz l'mekaymai is included. So that's why Tosfos prefers to take the non-regular pshat and pigel in order to deal with all the various psulim of kodesh. Why didn't Rashi learn like Tosfos? Tosfos has a very good line of reasoning, because Tosfos is changing the traditional pshat and pigel. Pigel means always chutz l'zmanai, and all of a sudden Tosfos is saying it means chutz l'mekaymai. Carbon means that this kodesh is a carbon, which is actually brought on the mizbeach, which truma is not. Mi'ila means that if somebody has hanor, has benefit from a carbon, he has to bring the value of the kodesh, add a fifth, and also bring a carbon me'ilah. Doesn't have to add a fifth. He has to bring a carbon me'ilah. The chorus. And if somebody eats kodesh that he's not supposed to, there's a chiyuv chorus, which is not by truma. By truma, if somebody's not supposed to eat truma, it's misa b'dei shemayim. And Tosfos, a very interesting Tosfos, explains here that chorus is a more strict punishment than Misav Dei Shemayim. Why? So Tosfos says, you know, we see many times, shouldn't be relevant to us, but we see many times that there's a punishment of Karis. What does Karis mean? So Taisa says three differences between Kares and Misa B'day Shemayim. One difference Taisa says is that Kares is the person dies by 60. Misa B'day Shemayim, he's going to die before the time he should have died, but not necessarily by 60. Another pshat Taisa says is that Kares, person dies by 50, and Misa B'day Shemayim is not necessarily by 50. The third pshat Taisa says is that Kares could affect not only the person who did the Aveira, but even his children. And Misa B'day Shemayim certainly does not affect the person's children. But then Taisa says, not every Kares affects the children. It's only when the word Ariri, when the Torah says Kares Ariri, which is a higher level of Kares, that affects the children. And Taisa also says that even in a Kares that does affect children, it's only young children. Older children, Ishbechata Yumas, a person doesn't die for his father's sins. So right now we identified six unique chumras that Kodesh has. Oh, one more thing. Asal Oinen. It's also the Oinen means somebody who's a close relative died before the Kvur, he's an Oinen, and he's also to eat Kodesh. Ask the Gemara, Ad Rabba, Truma Lema Mitna. If we want to look for chumras, Truma has the following chumras. Shekei Machbaz. What is Machbaz? Simen, Misa. Misa that is Chim Misa B'day Shemayim, which is very difficult. We just explained, all the Rishonim asked this question, we just explained that one makes Kodesh more Chumerdig than Truma, because Kodesh has Kares, and Truma only has Misa B'day Shemayim. And now the Gemara is saying that the Chumer of Truma is that it's Misa B'day Shemayim. So what is it? Is Misa B'day Shemayim more Chumerdig, or is Kares more Chumerdig? So Rishonim say, of course, Kares, as we just explained, is more severe than the Misa B'day Shemayim. However, there are more situations by Truma where a person can end up with Misa B'day Shemayim than by Kodesh. By Kodesh, a person will end up with Kares only if it's a Kohen Tameh. However, by Truma, a person will end up Misa B'day Shemayim both if it's a Kohen Tameh that eats it, or it's a Zor, a non-Kohen that eats it. So maybe the Oinish itself is less severe, but it's more prevalent. Chaynish, if somebody eats Truma that he wasn't supposed to, he has to add a fifth, which is 20% or 25%. That halacha doesn't apply by Kodesh. Vein loy pidyon means that you could redeem Kodesh at times. If the animal becomes a balmum, if the animal becomes defective before you bring it as a carbon, you could redeem it. Truma can never be redeemed. Vasur lazarim. There are times that a carbon is mutter lazarim. Or kachim kalim, a carbon shlamim. The owners get part of the carbon. Truma is always also to Yisraelim. So that's why Truma has unique chumras. Answers the Gemara, Hanach Nefishin. These are more. Because if you count, Kodesh had six chumras, and Truma had four chumras. So first I just want to show you a nice vert from the Gra. The Rashi says Nefishim on the fourth wide line, B'shem. They're more in name. What does Rashi mean, B'shem? So the Gra says that the original way it was printed in the Shas, in Rashi, was B'shem with a apostrophe between the Shin and Mem. It meant B'shtei Milus. It had two more, six over four. But what happened was the printer took out that apostrophe, and that's how he ended up with this non-understandable Rashi. Now the Rishonim ask a question. What the Ritva asked this question? What's going on here? The Gemara says that I would think that Kodesh may be Truma, not Kodesh, and the Gemara looks for Chumras by Kodesh, and the Gemara looks for Chumras by Truma, and the Gemara says the Kodesh has six and Truma has four. And in fact, Taisus says if you want, you can find more Chumras by Kodesh. Taisus gives an example. The halacha is, if somebody's Tameh, even if he goes to the mikveh, and even if he has Herav Shemesh, he can't eat Kabanis until he brings the Kabanis that he has to bring for Kapara. Truma he could eat right away. Taisus says the reason the Gemara didn't bring that down, because that's not a Beferish Pasuk, it's not an explicit Pasuk. But everybody could count that Kodesh has more Chumras than Truma. So what was the Havamina? So the Ritva answers, you're right. If you count, this has six and this has four. But what were the three of the six chumras that Kodesh had? Pigel, Neisser, and Carbon. That's not a chumra. they say a very tief pshat. A chumrah or a maila, what's something that I have a maila and you don't? That means theoretically you could have had that maila also. You could have had that attribute and you don't, and I do. I could daven faramid, you can't. So I have a maila. I could lane, you can't. But if there's something that has no relevance to me, that's not a maila. So when you say that kodesh has pigle or kodesh has noiser, it's not a maila versus truma. There's no chutzlus manu, chutzlum koyman truma. So you can't call that a maila. So if you think about it, if you take out the first three milas of kodesh, so now you're down to three. So maybe truma is more because this is four and this is three. Answers the Gemara. You're right. If you're going to go according to numbers, kodesh may have less numbers if we eliminate pigel, noiser, and tamei. But kodesh is chomer. You know why kodesh is chomer? She can't onish karis because it has the karis. So there's two ways of learning pshat. Rashi says the karis has in it two milas. What are the two milas that karis has in it? Number one, that the person dies, and it also affects his children. But what is really Rashi saying? What Rashi is really saying is that we always gauge the severity of an aveira by the oinish. If you see that the Torah gives the oinish for eating kodesh tamei kares and not by truma, truma is only misab de shemayim, that's the biggest raya that it's more chumridig. And we don't have to start counting. We don't go with the numbers. We go with the concept of the oinish. Rav Nachma Yitzchak says a different pasuk. How we know that you're allowed to have hanor from truma tamei? Amakra, the pasuk says by giving truma, reishis de goncha titein loy. So we learn loy, give it to the kayin, v'loy l'oyroy, that truma tahira should not be burnt. Why? Because truma tahira should be eaten. Mechlal, what do I learn from that? The bas oyrihi, there are trumas that should be burnt. Which truma should be burnt? Truma tameya. Ask Taisvis, maybe the pasuk is teaching us titein, that you have to give a dava chashiv, what you give the kayin has to be something substantial. So Taisus answers, you're right. But that I can learn from the word titein itself. Titein means to give. You have to give something substantial. Why did the pasuk add the word loy? To teach us loy, for loy l'oyroy, that truma tahira should not be burnt, truma tamei should be burnt. So the Sfas Emes asks a great question on Taisus. He asks, we know, we spoke about it here, the Midaraisa chita achas pateres pri. One kernel is enough. The shiurim of truma are all midrabbanan. Here we're saying that Taisa says that the pasuk titein teaches us that what you give the kain has to be something chashiv. So how can you say chita achas pateres sakri, which we have all over Shas? So Sfasem says a chiddush, that even though chita achas pateres sakri, one chita, but that chita has to be a chashiv chita. And if it's not what you gave him, a dava chashiv, you would not be yoy to the mitzvah truma. It's a big chiddush. But otherwise, what do you do with Taisus? Now, there's one machlokas Rashi Taisus as we finish the sugya of truma tameya. Rashi says that why do you have to burn truma tameya? Shlei lov le dei tekola. You shouldn't have it in the house and accidentally eat it, which is asur. So according to Rashi, Taisus says, it makes no difference how you get rid of it, as long as you get rid of it. However, Taisus disagrees and says, it's not that you have to get rid of it. There's a mitzvah to burn it. And this shaila is negeil aloch lemaisa. Nowadays, in Eretz Yisrael, and I'll tell you where it's negeil to us, Chutz La'aretz too, they take off truma. You have to take off truma. But we don't know what a kayan are with tamei, so what do? They dispose it. So the question is, what is better to do? Dispose it or burn it? Because if it's truma tahira, you're not allowed to burn it. If it's truma tameya, according to Taisus, you have to burn it. Now, it doesn't automatically become tamei just because we're tamei, because we learned all the sugyas that if it's not mukhshla kabal tumma, if it doesn't become wet, so it's not tamei. It can't become tamei. So there may be an issue dafka not to burn the truma that's taken off in Israel, but dafka to discard it without burning, because truma tahira you're not supposed to burn. So if you get rid of it by not burning, if it's truma tahira, you didn't do the wrong thing because you're not allowed to burn truma tahira. And according to Rashi, you also yaitz the mitzvah because Rashi doesn't require you to burn it. According to Taisvis, if it's truma tamei, Yitaka didn't do it right. Now, where's the question? When we bake challah, when we bake a bread, we also have to take off challah. That's even in Chutz La'aretz. Now, challah is always mukhshel kabel tumah because you can't make a dough without water. So it's mushal kabel tuma. So it has the din like truma tumeya, and the right thing to do with challah, which is what we do, is burn it. Don't throw it out, because Taisa says that truma tumeya is supposed to burn, not throw out. So we learned in the Mishnah, Rishmal Oimer, you could use, you shouldn't use itroin, which was the residue of tar. My tama, Amar Rav, Metoich Sherei Chara, because it has a foul smell, Gzeira Shemi Nechan V'Yetziv. You have Shabbos candles with that fuel, you'll leave the room. Amalei Abai V'Yetziv, so let him leave the room. Amalei, so Rabbi answers, Shani Oimer, Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Chayva. We have a Chiyiv to light Shabbos candles, and we don't want you to walk around. Dom Rav Nachman Bar Zavda, Vramlei Amar Rav Nachman Bar Rava Amar Rav, Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Chayva. There's a Chayv to light Shabbos candles. Rechitzas Shadayim Raglayim B'Chamin Arvis Rishus. Washing your hands and feet before Shabbos is Rishus, V'ani Oimer Mitzvah. And I say it's a mitzvah. So let's stop here and talk about Hadlokas Ner, and then we'll talk about Rechitzas Shadayim Raglayim, the Gemara, go further. First of all, Tosfos and Rashi have a machlokes why you're supposed to light Shabbos candles. Rashi says it's because of Kavod Shabbos. Tosfos says it's Oinik Shabbos. It's an enjoyment to eat by a meal with his candles. What's the machlokes halacha l'maisa? So Kavod Nisanel says a machlokes that could be very relevant tomorrow night. He says like this: let's say you make Shabbos early, and when you come from shul, it's very light outside. Is there an inyan that the candles should still be burning? If you say it's because of Kavod Shabbos, that you're only lighting the candles for Kavod Shabbos, so as soon as you lit the candles, you did Kavod Shabbos. But if you'll say that you're lighting the candles because it's a oinig to have candles at your table, then you should have the candles on even if it's light outside. Now, Tosfos asks another question. It says, we learned the Gemara Masechet Brachos. The Gemara Masechet Brachos says, Mayim Achroinim Chayva. Mayim Achroinim Chayva. And therefore, you have to wash Mayim Achroinim. But the Gemara says, you don't make a bracha. So Tosfos says, you see, where the Gemara uses the Lashon Chayva, you don't necessarily make a bracha. So how can we make a bracha on Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, on the Shabbos candles? So Tosfos says that the word chayv could go either way. Ask Tosfos another important question. Why do you make a bracha on lighting the candles? What would be the halacha, ask Tosfos, if you have candles on from before Shabbos? You put on a candle Friday morning, a yahrzeit candle, and it's still burning on Shabbos. Would you have to put it on, would you have to make a new candle for Shabbos? Tosfos says you don't, because the whole reason is just to have Oinik Shabbos. And Oinik Shabbos you have with a candle on. So why do you make a bracha if you don't have to do it specially for Shabbos? So Taisa says you find a lot of places in Halacha that even though you don't necessarily have to do something, when you do it, you make a bracha. And Taisa gives two examples. One example is by Mila. The Halacha is that if a child is born already circumcised, so you don't have to make a bris. There's nothing to make a bris over. So you don't make a bracha, obviously. But what happens when a child is born not circumcised? Of course you make a bracha. I make be a case where you don't have to make a milah. That doesn't mean just because you don't have to do something, that in the case you do it, you don't make a bracha. Taisa gives another example. We spoke this week about Kisui Hadam, that when you shechta, chay or oif, you have to cover the blood. What's going to be the halacha, asked Taisfis? You shecht a chicken, and right away, somehow it gets covered. It's fine. Does that mean that when it didn't get covered and you actually covered it, you don't make a bracha? So Tosfos says, from here you see that even though you don't have to do something, you could somehow avoid doing it, that doesn't mean you don't make a bracha when you actually do it. So Tosfos is saying, and Tosfos is working lishitasai, that the whole point of the Shabbos candles is Oinik Shabbos. So as long as I have candles lit, it makes no difference if I did it specifically for Shabbos or not, I'm yoytze the mitzvah. But then Tosfos calls to Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rabbeinu Tam says that even if you have candles lit, there's an inyan to light special candles for Shabbos. So even if you have candles lit, which is very relevant to us, we all have electricity in the house, and we may have them on from Friday morning, still you should light candles l'kavod Shabbos. And I found both the Har Tzvi, Ritzvi Pesach Frank, and the Klozenberger Rebbe in the Tshuvas and Divrei Yatziv explain the concept very well. They say there are two concepts in Shabbos candles, because they're combining Rashi and Tosfos. They say there's a concept of Kavod Shabbos and there's a concept of Oinik Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos requires you to light a candle l'Kavod Shabbos. That candle should be lit, like we learned this week, after the plague, and should be written l'Kavod Shabbos. Even if you have all the candles in the world and all the electricity in the world on. Then there's another concept of Oinik Shabbos, that because of Shalom Bayis, and we'll talk about that soon, there should be light in the house. And how do you have light that will create an environment of Shalom? But that you don't have to light candles specially. The Klaus Magareba says, what will be if you have your window of one of the rooms in your house outside where you have a street light? And it gives enough light in the room. It's fine. You don't have to light a candle. But he does say that Oinik Shabbos requires that you don't only have light in the dining room. You should have light in the whole house. Because what does Shabbos light mean? Then the house, there should be environment of Shalom. And the environment of Shalom is achieved with lights. But that the environment in Shalom is not limited to the dining room and the kitchen. There should be enough illumination in the entire house. So accordingly, what's the halach l'maisa? Light at least one candle l'kavod Shabbos, and then have enough illumination with electricity or somewhere in the house l'tzarich oinik Shabbos. It's interesting, as we start moving away from the sugya, the Baal Hilchos Gedolos says he has a count of all the mitzvahs, and he counts Shabbos candles as a mitzvah midaraisa in Parshas Noach. And there's others, the Urim says that Shabbos candles are with Klal Yisrael from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's not stam a minig d'rabbanan. We're dealing with something very serious. Now we continue the Gemara. Dar Rav Yehuda. What? We gave over to women. We gave it over to the women. V'ani oim a mitzvah. I say lighting the washing is a mitzvah. My mitzvah. Don't Rav Yehuda Merav. Kachay Yemelgan Hagel Shabbos Yehuda Baloi Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos Mevin Loi Areiv Meleim Chamin. They brought him a bucket full of hot water. V'roich Tzponiv Yadav V'raglov. And he used to wash his hands and his face and his feet. So the question here is: we know that Aloch is you're supposed to wash your whole body. Why do you only wash Tzponiv Yadav V'raglov? So there are a lot of answers given. One answer that's given is that he lived in a place where there was no mikveh, where there was no bath. They didn't have baths in every house, showers in every house. So at least he washed that much of his body. Another pshat that I saw was, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Loi, the Gemara says somewhere else, was a person that had a lot of headaches. So it was hard for him to go to the bathhouse. So at least he washed Panav Yadav Raglav. We, who could wash our whole body, should certainly do that. A third pshat that I saw is that he went and took a shower or bath earlier in the day. But there's an inyan, let's say Shabbos tomorrow night is 8 o'clock. But there's, and you go, you take a shower at 12, 1, 2, whatever, go to the mikveh. It's interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan, for Litvusha, now the Chassidus says that a person's supposed to go to the mikveh every Erev Shabbos. What do you call it? So somebody went earlier in the day. Still, there's an inyan that right before Shabbos, you should wash your hands and feet. You should wash your hands and face. Mr. Bruce says Raglav is not that relevant where we live because we wear shoes and socks. Show that right before Shabbos, I'm washing myself because Shabbos is covered Shabbos. Even if you took a shower or bath earlier in the day.
What's
defined right before Shabbos? I don't know. What do you call it? Before Shabbos. There's an interesting pshat, chassidish pshat, that I'll say it. Reich etz adam panav yadav Raglav, that Erev Shabbos, person supposed to do tshuva, do a cheshbon ha-nefesh for the whole week. So Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, a person should roich its panav, he should wash his face, do tshuva what he thought about this week. Yodav, he should do tshuva what he did this week. And Raglav, he should do tshuva where he went this week. Umisatif, and he used to sit wearing a talis, v'yosh b'sadinem ha-metsuyotzim, wore linen begodim that had tzitzis in them, v'doim l'malach Hashem tzvokas. He looked like a malach. Now there's a very interesting problem here. Linen is linen. The tchelis, which is one of the threads of the tzitzis, is made out of wool. So why is there no problem with shatness? Because he held, as we're going to learn now in the Gemara, like Beis Hillel. There's a pasuk in the Torah, like silba shatness, semru pishtin yachtov, don't wear shatness, which is a mixture of wool and linen, gedilim taslach, but wear tzitzis. So Beis Hillel says that even though there's an isser to wear shatness, still when you're wearing, by tzitzis there's no iser. So even though he was wearing a linen beged, a linen garment, he put on tzitzis. His talmidim didn't agree with him. That's why his talmidim were hiding from him the corners of their beged. So he told them, my children, didn't I teach you sadim b'tzitzis, a linen with tzitzis, b'shamay patrim, b'shamay say you don't put tzitzis on him, or b'shil m'chayvin, but b'shil say you should put tzitzis, so why didn't you put tzitzis? We know that halacha is always like b'shil, so why taka didn't they put on the tzitzis? They held savik zerim shem ksus laila. The halacha is, this is what Rashi explains the Gemara here, that a garment that's used exclusively at night, you can't put tzitzis on, because it's re'isim, I say. We should see it. And a beggar that's for the night, you don't put on tzitzis. So now, they were worried that if we're going to put on tzitzis on the garment that you wear by day, which Enochanami, according to Beis Hillel, there's no problem because of the pasuk in the Torah, but you may come to put it on the beggar of the night, where there'll be an issur of shatness. Because shatness is only removed, it's only exempt when you have a chiyuv tzitzis. So in order to stay away from that, that's why they didn't put it on ever. So there are a few questions here. First of all, what's the machlokes? The machlokes b'sham b'shil is, do we learn from the fact that these two psukim are next to each other, the pasuk of shatness and tzitzis? But if you remember, when we learned the Gemara Masech, the Brachas, we learned as machlokes, we learned smuchim. But the Gemara Masech, the Brachas says that in Dvarim, we always learn smuchim. These psukim are in Dvarim. So why don't Beis Shammai agree? So the Sfasem says a very cute teretz. What do Beis Hillel say? The two psukim are together to teach us that even though there's an issa shatness, tzitzis supersedes it. He says, Beis Shammai says the two psukim are together to teach us just the opposite. That even though there's a mitzvah tzitzis, it doesn't supersede shatness. Tosfos asks, the Gemara says, Beis Shammai poitrim. Beis Shammai says you don't have to put on tzitzis. It should have said Beis Shammai oisrim. It's prohibited. Why do they say poitrim? Poitrim means you don't have to. It's an isser. You're not allowed to have such tzitzis. It's a shatness. So the two terutzim. One terutz is that what's going to be the halacha if you're not wearing the beged? You have a beged, you have a garment, and you put tzitzis on it. It's shatness. It's a linen beged, but you're not wearing it. So you're not over shatness, because the only time you do the aver of shatness is when you're wearing it. Here you're not wearing it. But still, Beis Shammai says don't put it on, even if it's in your drawer. Another teretz they say is like this. What's going to be if you have a linen beged, but you want to put on linen tzitzis? So you have no problem with shatness. Still, says Beis Shammai, don't put on the linen tzitzis. Why? Because you put on linen tzitzis, you may come to put on the tchelis, which will be shatness, and then you'll be over the veir of shatness.
It's very similar to Gemara in Yevamos. I thought the conclusion there was that it's only if it's interwoven, should we do even
know? No, but tzitzis is considered woven onto the beged, because that's... But the pasuk says, "V'tiznach mishalom nafshi." The pasuk in Eicha says, "I lost peace, nashisi toiva. I lost all goodness." Ask the Gemara, "My v'tiznach mishalom nafshi." What's pshat that I lost all peace? Amravu azuad lakas ner b'shabbos. Lighting the candle represents peace, and if we lost that, so we lost peace. Nashisi toiva. I lost something good. What is considered something good? Amrav yermia zu beis amerchet. Going to be able to go to the bathhouse. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zu Yichitzis Yadayim Reglayim B'Chamim. The opportunity to wash hands and feet in warm water. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafchama, what is good? What's considered good? Mita no, a nice bed. Bekeim no, nice utensils. Shalel, that are nice sheets and blankets. Rabbi Abama Zu Mita Mitzas, to have a made bed with nice linen, vishim kushetas, and having a wife that's properly adorned, l'tkam chacham, for me to tell me the chacham. So since we're talking about what's good, says the Gemara, Tan Rabban, Ezer Asher, who is considered an Asher? Kosh yesh le'nachas ruach ba'ashray. Somebody who has hana, somebody has, he has money, but he enjoys his money. Divra meya. Simen matkas, Rav Tarfon Amar, again, who is considered a wealthy person, koshesh like kuf kromim, 1,000 vineyards, or meyer sodas and 1,000 fields, the kuf avodim shayvdim mehem, and 100 servants working on them. So it's a very nice fart from the Ben Ishchai. He asks two questions. First of all, he says 100 workers for a person who has 100 vineyards and 100 fields is not enough. How is that enough for so many fields? And the other question, he says, what's the Gemara saying shayvdim mehem, that they work? So he says, the truth is, somebody has 100 vineyards and 100 fields, it's not a wealthy man. He has a lot on his head. He has to manage all of this real estate. So the kuf avadim are not the workers. He has 100 managers. So if he has 100 managers, he could rely on them, and he doesn't have to do the work. But when are the 100 managers useful? Shaiv them behem, if they do the job. If you have managers that don't do the job, you only have more headaches. Rabbi Kiva Aimer, kasha esh le ishano. Rabbi Kiva says, somebody who has a good wife. It's mamish, today we're learning the blast from the Lag BaOmer, which was the day that the Talmid Rabbi Kiva stopped dying, and Rabbi Kiva had a great wife, Rachel, right? The daughter of Kalba Savua, that Rabbi Kiva became Rabbi Kiva because of his wife. So he said, how did I achieve what I achieved? Because I had a great wife. Rabbi Yossi Aimer, kasha esh le besakise sama shulchanai. Somebody who has a bathroom near his home. Why? Because he has hygiene, and that keeps him from getting ill. And the Mashal explains the Gemara this way. He says there are three reasons why a person wants to have money. One is that he wants to be famous. Another is because he wants to be able to provide for his family. And a third reason is that if Chas v'Shalom he'll get sick, he'll be able to have the funds to pay for his health care. So Rav Tarfon was talking to a person who wants to be famous. He says, if you want to be famous for the money you have, there's no shear, there's never an end. And if you'll have 100 fields and 100 vineyards and 100 workers, you still there could always be more. So that's not going to make you happy. Rabbi Kiva says, you're worried about having enough money for your family? There's never enough. You know what's enough? If you have a wife who is happy with what she has, that's the biggest bracha. Then it doesn't make a difference how much you have. She's happy. And that's what the Mefarshim say is Pshat, Ezush Oshra Sameich Bechalkai, that he has a wife who's happy with what they have. And then he says, you want to have enough money in case you get sick? The best thing is just don't get sick. Have a bathroom next to your home, watch yourself from getting sick, and then you don't need any money for the doctors. But I'll end with what the Bava Rebbe, when he used to give a bracha, we have here the what's Pshat and Oshra, somebody has a good wife, somebody has a lot of money, somebody has everything nearby for hygiene. But we know in Pirkei Avos it says Ezur Asher Hasameich Bechelkai. So Bava Rebbe, when he used to give a person a bracha, he used to say you should be an Asher not just according to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, you should also be an Asher according to the Brisa Masechta Shabbos.